information could give women a chance to change their minds, but critics say the procedure isn't scientifically proven to work. More details at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome to Radio Wasteland, your Northern California show about UFOs, things in the night sky, and things that go bump in the dark. This is the continuing news at the top of the hour. Is Elvis dead? Well, I like to think he's somewhere in East Texas defending a retirement home from an ancient evil mummy, but now the king is not the only rock star to hit the mainstream of conspiracy. Currently, some theorists are in arms at the possibility that Taylor Swift is none other than the dark reincarnation of Zena LaVey, daughter of famed Satanist Anton LaVey. The downside is Zena LaVey is alive and well, living in Berlin. But I have to admit that the comparison image is quite shocking. Check out RadioWasteland.us to see the image. Also, a few other fringe rock and roll conspiracy theorists also think that Kurt Cobain, the lead singer of grunge band Nirvana, might be alive and well and Peruvian due to a questionable resemblance to Ramiro Severda on a Peruvian talent show. The claim was discredited by surviving members of the band and Severda, but the theory persists. It's being reported that Japan has declared Bitcoin to be legal tender. Bitcoin is a type of digital currency or cryptocurrency in which encryption techniques are used to regulate the generation of units in currency and verify the transfer of funds operating independently of a central bank. The idea of bringing cryptocurrency into the mainstream has been in the works for a while, but saw a few setbacks over the years, being accused of being used as currency in black markets and the dark web. According to a survey conducted by Chapman University, 54.3% of Americans now believe that the government is covering up information related to 9/11 attacks. This increase is possibly due to rising potential evidence compiled by groups of independent researchers and increasing lack of trust in the government. The Chapman survey also top fear of 2016 among Americans was the corruption of government officials. And finally, in sports news, during a recent podcast with Cleveland Cavaliers, Kyrie Irving, Richard Jefferson, and Channing Frye, Frye asked his teammates if they believe in UFOs and aliens, to which Irving replied that he believed that the Earth was flat, stunning mainstream audiences. He was quoted as saying, "This is not even a conspiracy theory. The Earth is flat."
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Thank you for...
You heard it here first.
Yeah. Right. Well, arguably they heard it... from the dawn of time right up through about, 1600?
Well, I mean, the Greeks and Romans knew that it was flat.
Mm-hmm. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. I am Chauncey Hallworth. I'm here with my co-host, Christopher Robin.
Good evening, everybody.
And Sean is sitting in with us today.
Hello. Yes, Sean. I just sort of barged in.
Sean, so. I'm not entirely sure what your last name is other than intern at large.
My last name is Kittrick.
Oh, no, I did know that, Sean Kittrick.
Yes.
And so you are here because you've crashed this party because your bucket list is to be on a radio show covering conspiracies
and
legends.
That's correct. I said before we started here that it was a lifelong goal of mine, so I burst in and they don't seem too perturbed by my presence.
No. We're good with it. We're good
with
it.
Yeah, it's all good.
The more the merrier. Have everybody here.
Exactly.
All right, so I thought I'd cover some of the topics from last week. Last week, co-host Christopher Robin was down and out and sick, and our friend Matt Matlock sat in for him, which was very nice of him. Last week, Chris, we discussed Bigfoot, and I was just wondering, what's your take on Bigfoot? Do you think there's a Bigfoot?
I'm not exactly sure if there is a Bigfoot. I am a fan of the Bigfoot legend.
Yeah, me too.
And I would like to know for sure. I'm just not sure we're ever going to get there with the way things are. I mean, technology has caught up to the point where we really should have some more hard evidence if this is going on.
Right. You know, there's two schools of Bigfoot hunters out there, the people who are trying to get hair samples and photographic evidence, like the Patterson-Gimlin footage from 1967.
Non-specific DNA and whatnot.
Right, right. And then there seems to be a new breed that plan on bringing back a corpse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I heard some of the hunters saying that they're just not willing to do that. And then you can go either way with that one. It's like, are they not willing to, or are they just making up the fact that they could if they wanted to?
Yeah, as a person, I feel like kind of terrible at the idea of shooting Bigfoot.
Yeah.
But as a...
But they should have cameras, too.
Fan of science, you know, I think it's safe to say that any animal that has gone into our archives of this animal existed, we either have a corpse or a fossil or something. I don't think that there's probably anything in our archives where we don't have some sort of...
Some kind of evidence that everybody agrees upon.
Right, but more than a hair sample. Right. We're talking like a corpse or a fossil.
Yeah, I'd feel squeamish about shooting it, though. That's like shooting Santa Claus.
You know, that would be terrible.
You can show your kids and be like, hey, Santa's real, but they're not going to be happy.
But an HD camera, you know, shoot it with that.
Dead Santa.
So. Right.
Yeah, well, that's
true. But you could capture it, you know, go Almighty Joe Young on it.
You get into the question of faked footage and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah, right. Which we could probably do in this studio.
Well, exactly. It's like the ability to capture anything at any time is certainly increased, but at the same time, the ability to fake any kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, YouTube is full of quote unquote legitimate sightings of all kinds of things, but of course they're fake.
Right.
Or are they?
Or are they?
Right.
You never know. You know, unfortunately.
You can't know because there's a sea of nonsense out
there. A lot of the time, you get to look somebody straight in the eye and, you know them and have them tell you that it's real. Because I have a buddy, Matt, who has told me that he saw a Bigfoot or something running along the side of his car. And, you know, I know him. So, I mean, I know that he's not making this up. He has no interest in impressing me with his, you know, freaky story because he's really just not that kind of a guy, you know?
Well, yeah, cryptid sightings often proliferate in small towns where, where that's exactly the situation. You know,
But there's no urban, urban Bigfoot, you know?
Not yet.
Exactly right.
Right, not yet. Encroaching
on
our...
there's, like, sewer alligators, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't know if that's a cryptid, but...
Yeah, I don't know that.
They probably just mistake Bigfoot for a homeless dude in the city. They'd just be all, oh, I don't know, he's pretty hairy and he smells great.
Just hangs out by the Starbucks all day.
Right, right, totally. Yeah, totally. He's learned a word, and it's change. You know. All right. That's terrible. Last week, we also, I had picked this topic intending you to be there, discuss the moon landing, because I know that that's one of your favorites.
Yeah, because there is a lot of information to support both sides.
Right. Well, we covered all the potential, like, did we even go to the moon, which would be, you know, is it faked? And if so, did we find anything? Were there ancient structures? Nazi breakaway civilizations or, you know, another one is the moon even real or is it manufactured? You know, some people think that it's the Death Star.
Yeah. Another popular theory is we did go to the moon, but weren't able to actually take footage with the cameras that we had at the time. So we had to get something out there.
Oh, right, right. We didn't even cover that one last time because of the zero gravity and the technology of the camera being able to function in zero gravity. And then there's always...
And the radiation and the film that they had at the time.
Right, right. And so we got back and nobody was going to believe us, so we had to call up Stanley.
Yeah, we got to do something. Yeah.
Right, right. Have you followed any of this Stanley Kubrick faking the moon landing possibility?
You know, I'm afraid I don't know very much about the moon landing and or, you know, the moon landing being faked.
All right. Well, listen to the last show.
Yeah.
All right. We're coming up on break here. You are listening to Radio Wasteland, your Northern California show. I think I need a better catchphrase. I don't know. I kind of stumbled through this one. We talk about anything that other people just don't like to talk about, I guess, as far as scary things and night skies.
Yeah.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction, letting you know that you no longer have to make an appointment to renew your California CCW permit. Simply navigate to readingccw.com and select a renewal class to attend. While you're there, download the renewal application and fill it out. 4 weeks from your expiration date, send in your application and your training certificate. For any questions, give me a call, 530-999-1822, or visit us online at readingccw.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
There's an older animal at Haven Humane who lost his loving home just waiting for you to come rescue him. PALS Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion, and right now Blindsided is making a donation to this fund with every window covering order. Donations to this fund continue to provide homes for these older pets and honor the memory of this amazing deaf Dalmatian that provided me love and companionship until his passing over 10 years ago.
For window coverings, contact Blindsided today at 945-3969.
Time has come for 51. Becoming the 51st state won't be easy, but it'll be worth it. Tired of California passing laws that make your life more difficult?
Find out what's happening and how you can help every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with Wynn Carpenter
and Terry Raposa
here on KCNR 1460 AM.
Listen for Jefferson State of Mind now at its new time, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock here on AM 1460 KCNR.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. In this next segment, we're going to be discussing the flu and the possibility of a global pandemic. The flu is probably a great topic because we're right now, currently, at the height of flu season. The flu season in the U.S. can begin as early as October, but usually does not get into full swing until December. And the season generally reaches its peak in February, that's us, and ends in March. You know, scientists are not entirely sure what makes the flu season the flu season. There's a couple of theories about that. One is the togetherness flu theory. And that means that during the winter, we spend more time indoors, and we're all trapped in there. We're breathing each other's air.
More time to breed.
More time to breed. Right. There's also the dark cold theory. That, you know, during winter time we get less sunlight, less vitamin D, our immune systems are knocked out a little bit.
Yeah, everything's taking a hit.
Right, right. Then there's the cold weather virus theory, that it thrives in cold, dry air of winter and suffers in warm, humid air. And then there's one, an upper atmosphere theory that, you know, during the pressures it pushes it up and down, but not a lot to substantiate that. The one with the most substantiation behind it is the cold weather virus theory. A medical researcher took some guinea pigs that apparently respond the same way that humans do to the flu. And he tested the cold weather virus theory by injecting half the guinea pigs with the influenza A, which is the common flu, and put them in a crate next to uninfected guinea pigs.
Mm-hmm.
And at a temperature of 41 degrees, all four of the exposed guinea pigs caught the flu. But when he repeated it, the experiment at 68 degrees, only one of the animals caught the flu. And then when he ran it again at a temperature of 86 degrees, none of the animals got sick, showing that the flu survives in a cold, dry climate and that it's really moisture in the air that causes it, so that when we cough or we get infected with it, you know, a cold, dry climate will send our spittle, or whatever nice word you want to use, flying, and a wet environment will just drop it to the ground. And
seems like fungus spores and different bacteria would be the same as that.
Right, right. So, and then now, this is probably a bit controversial. The CDC is now recommending that everyone older than 6 months get a flu shot each year. And it used to just be children and seniors. Do you guys get the flu shot?
I have never had a flu shot.
You haven't?
No. You get the flu shot?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
So, Chris, can I ask you?
Prevented you from getting sick from year to year? And
I really couldn't say. I haven't gotten sick.
When was the last time you had the flu?
Goodness. Probably 8-10 years ago. Something like that.
All right.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
And last week we had Matlock sitting in for Christopher Robin. And Chris, why were you not here last week?
I had the flu.
And how many times have you gotten the flu shot?
Again, never had the flu shot.
Yeah. So I'm personally a little iffy about the flu shot. You know, I get all these people's arguments. You know, you're putting dead flu and formaldehyde and Lord knows what in me and injecting it. And I get that. But my wife has an autoimmune disease, and she can't get the flu shot.
Right.
And so I do get the flu shot every year because of that. But I do have my questions in my head because of, you know, it's a sort of nature's natural way to deal with a, you know, the common cold might have been a pandemic at one point in our history.
Yeah, which might have wiped us.
And we might have just processed it out, homogenized it, or whatever the word is to turn it into the sniffles that it is today. But children 6 months to 17 years got the vaccine. This is in the last 12 months. 6 months to 17 years, 49.6% of kids got it. 18 to 49, 31.7%. 50, 64, 48%, and 65 and older, 69%. So it's definitely still there, but I was kind of surprised at the lowness of the number between 18 and 49.
Yeah.
I wish I would have collected some data to tell me if that had gone down, because it seems to be a very common topic. And, you know, I was iffy about it until, you know, Jenny McCarthy started talking about it, and I'm all, whoa, now a real scientist is talking about
it. Yeah, so, and unfortunately, people like that that don't have scientific backgrounds or education are causing people to not get some of these vaccines, and now we're seeing things like smallpox.
Right.
Yeah.
Again, for no good reason.
Right, right. Yeah. So would you say that you're pro-vaccine, or do you know?
I'm starting to lean that way. You know, my doctor this year explained to me about the, what do they call it, the herd immunization, like, because people like your wife that can't get it, the rest of us need to, because individuals can't.
Right.
And the more of us that don't because of people like Jenny McCarthy, then the more of us are going to get sick.
Right.
And so a lot of that makes sense. And so we'll see by next year.
I'm guessing that given our audience, I bet you that our views, like, are you pro-vaccine or anti?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, my feeling on it is, if I get on a plane to fly, I don't tell the pilot how to do their job, and I don't tell the people who say, hey, you should really get this vaccine or that vaccine, or stand on your head and do a little dance. I'll do it, whatever. Mm-hmm. and if they've injected me with mind control agents, well, that was very clever of them.
Yeah, that's something that's definitely scary, is the whole amateur diagnosis is what you're basically saying.
And I was sick much longer, our household was, because of being misdiagnosed with flu versus a bacterial infection.
Mm-hmm.
They did a flu test on one of us, and it came up, you know, negative, so, or it came up positive, and so then I wasn't given antibiotics until I had to go back a few days later.
Because you had a second.
Then I was given the test, and they're like, well, you don't have the flu. You need to take these antibiotics.
Right, because it's common you'll get a secondary infection because of the deal. I'm really kind of in between, but I'm guessing that a lot of our audience is probably anti-flu. I bet you they're listening to this going like, oh, man, these guys are
done with flu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm done with this. Anybody yelling? Anybody out there yelling at your radio? Give us a call at 530-605-4567.
Yell at us on the air.
Yeah. Set us straight. So the topic here really is how close to a pandemic are we? And a pandemic would be, you know, a disease or a sickness that spans the world.
Outside of one country.
Right, outside of one country. And, you know, the topic more so when I first started this is I had the idea of doing a doomsday forecast on the show where instead of reporting the weather once a week, we would report a possible way that, you know, civilization could end.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so the doomsday forecast, you know, maybe put some beeps and blips at the beginning and do-do-do-do-do, you know, and now in gamma burst from the middle of the Milky Way news, you know. So, you know, but it as I was doing my research for this, I found just a lot more stuff. And so I definitely found that from doctors and the CDC and everything, everybody seems to say that it's highly unlikely that a pandemic will wipe us out. But they also say that we absolutely should be prepared. Yeah. So they're all pushing like, we need to be prepared. This is important, but it's totally unlikely.
Well, it's highly unlikely a meteor will hit the planet, but it's a certainty that it will happen eventually.
Right, you know? Right. Astronomical numbers are still just numbers.
And there's so, the fear factor that they always want to, you know, have a balance of, you know, we want you to be scared, but not too scared.
Right.
Well, and really, the
have
CDC.
Have your water and everything ready. But,
right. To play devil's advocate, there's probably a fear factor as well that if people start getting sick, they want to believe that there is something in place to stop it.
Yeah, I would want to think that.
There's a researcher, Sonia Shah, author of a book, Pandemic, Tracking Contagions from Cholera to Ebola and Beyond. And she says humans put themselves at risk by encroaching on wildlife habitats. About 60% of our new pathogens come from the bodies of animals. So we've definitely heard of all this with H1N1, swine flu, and bird flu. You know, my wife actually, you know, here she comes up again. My wife and daughter actually got the swine flu, and they were sick up in bed for 3 weeks.
Wow.
Like the actual, and everybody goes, no, they didn't. Yeah, no, they got their blood tested and they said,
that is
the swine flu, you know. Yeah, that's when she first, after that is when she first got the vaccination. And then for a couple of years, they thought she had MS, but it ended up being that she was one of the like 0.3% of people who have an adverse reaction to vaccinations, you know, part of what, so she had, you know, basically neurological issues with her nerves. This Shaw also says the majority of pandemic experts of all kinds felt that a pandemic would sicken a billion people and kill 165 million people and cost the global economy about $3 trillion, which would occur sometime in the next two generations.
Goodness.
That was the closest that I could come to an expert saying this is going to happen.
In the next maybe 20, 40 years.
Right, right. This is going to happen. But still, that is not a life-ending pandemic. You know, if they're citing dollar amounts that we're planning on living because people are going to be concerned about their money. Well, we're coming up on break here. We'll be back with Radio Wasteland.
Thank you. Have you ever had your vehicle in a shop for collision repair? When you called to check on it, did no one seem to know anything about it? Don Seck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Did you feel like a number when you were given canned rhetoric or generalization not specific to your vehicle? Although we are recognized as an authority in frame and suspension repair, we are primarily an auto body and truck collision repair center. When you select Coachmaster, we will tell you exactly how we are going to repair your vehicle. You will know the person in charge and get direct answers to your questions and follow-up phone calls, because every vehicle is personal to us. With our knowledge of the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to get started quickly. A reputation for excellent service and high-quality repairs takes years to build, and we intend to keep it. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
This is Carl in the Bot, and there is only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Redding. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now, they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
This is Joe McKenna, CEO of CloudWise Academy and your host of the Digital Revolution Show. If you own a business, run a business, or want to start a business, then this show is for you. I'll pull back the green curtain exposing how the internet is impacting your business and give you the rules and tools to take control. If it's related to the internet and matters to business, we'll be talking about it here. Tune in every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. to the Digital Revolution Show on KCNR 1460.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Frenzied world. We live in what I call reactive, fast-paced, frenzied world.
Yes, I can do it.
Hello, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Of course, I don't want to. We are talking about pandemics and the flu and the possibility that a pandemic could take out all life on the planet, or at least civilized life. You know, a lot of people don't take this very seriously. We have an audio clip to play for you right now of the Canadian Parliament talking about how seriously they take a zombie outbreak.
Honorable member for Winnipeg Center.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I rise today to salute the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta and the province of Quebec for putting in place emergency measures to deal with the possibility of an invasion of zombies. Now, I don't need to tell you, Mr. Speaker, that zombies don't recognize borders, and that a zombie invasion in the United States could easily turn into a continent-wide pandemic if it's not contained. So on behalf of concerned Canadians everywhere, Mr. Speaker, I want to ask the Minister of Foreign Affairs, is he working with his American counterparts to develop an international zombie strategy so that a zombie invasion does not turn into a zombie apocalypse?
The Honourable Minister of Foreign Affairs.
Mr. Speaker, I want to assure this member and all Canadians that I am dedicated to ensuring that this never happens.
I want to say categorically to this member and through him to all Canadians that under the leadership of this Prime Minister, Canada will never become a safe haven for zombies ever.
So for those of you wondering, that was completely real, although I think they were probably having a little bit of fun with that. But this really did happen. You know?
Yeah, there was a lot of laughter in there, but I think this is a serious issue with most Canadians.
Right, right. So, you know, totally. Canadians are known for, you know, they're not messing around when it comes to the zombie apocalypse.
Hockey sticks.
Not on the border.
Right, hockey sticks, yeah.
Perfect implement for slaying zombies, really.
We don't stereotype on this show.
Well,
what's
okay.
up with that? What's up with that? Can't mock the Canadians.
All right. I'm sorry.
They'd be all polite. Oh, please don't bite me.
Eh?
Yeah. I hope we're not syndicated to Canada yet. I love Canada. You know, so the likelihood of a zombie apocalypse, probably pretty unlikely. But I think Joe might have something to say about this. Joe is our producer and has decided that this topic is something near and dear to his heart.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely time to come in here now.
So what do you think, Joe? You think a zombie apocalypse is possible?
Don't we think it might already be happening? I mean, didn't that guy just chew that guy's face off?
Basalts?
He didn't have basalts in him.
No, he was just...
He was just hungry.
He was just hungry and thirsty. And what about... Have you guys read about the towns in Africa where they have to tie down their young children because they crawl through the town if they don't tie them down and attack people randomly?
I haven't heard about this.
Yeah. I do know that, you know, mad cow disease, when everybody was concerned about mad cow disease, that cannibalistic cultures, mad cow disease is actually caused by, or that's what they say, feeding cows to other cows. And that in cannibalistic cultures, where people eat the brain and brainstem of their family members, they get basically a laughing disease that's similar to mad cow.
Yeah, so I think we have to qualify what is a zombie. I mean, is it when someone finally goes crazy and is the undead? Or is it when someone is uncontrollable? You know, is it undead? Is it crazy? Is it like when they have rabies?
We got movie comparisons here. Yeah. So are we talking Night of the Living Dead or are we talking 28 Days?
And which
later?
Are the scariest to you?
Oh,
28 Days is pretty. There's a bad
one. I think last week Matlock put it really well. We were talking about Bigfoots out in the wild, and if we heard a Bigfoot yelling, would we be scared? And we both agreed that we would be more scared that it was a human being out there messing with us, because human beings are definitely the scariest of all animals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I would say I would be more scared of the 28 Days Later zombie that is still a human being that's possibly
for that same reason
plotting.
I would be most scared of a situation like The Serpent and the Rainbow.
Oh, yeah. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Where
the world has forgotten the
turn you into a zombie and make you a slave.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I, you know, that's one of the places it came from. But also came from, there's like German culture that, you know, believes wraiths come back and that's somehow confused with zombies and all that kind of thing. But what about The Serpent in the Rainbow? How would you like to have been the zombie Serpent in the Rainbow?
Oh, yeah.
Who really, that guy's kind of coherent and ends up being able to come back and wake up.
Bury me, I'm not dead.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Totally. Yeah, that's... You know, there is some scientific proof behind the possibilities of zombies, though. Mm-hmm. There is, I wish I had it in front of me. There is an insect that gets inside other insects and controls them.
Oh.
Spider wasp.
What is it?
Spider wasp dust.
Spider wasp.
Lots of varieties of wasps.
All right, lots of wasps. So, I mean, there is some...
There's also a bacteria that gets in snails. Everyone who's listening, Google this one. There's bacteria that gets in snails, and it makes their antennae turn into a flashing. They bubble up, and they turn like flashing red, white, and blue. And it makes the snail crawl up to the top of a tree so that birds will eat the snail.
Mm-hmm.
And then that parasite will get inside the bird.
Oh, okay.
So that's totally controlling
it. That's clever. You know, that's very blobbery.
Well, even rabies, in a sense, is controlling the people it gets into. I mean, the idea is that it constricts the throat and makes it so you can't swallow and are afraid of water because of the spasms, so that you spread the disease.
You know, rabies is a prime example of, you know, we're talking about pandemics and how this could possibly happen. And there's a belief that a pandemic is really not going to happen because – as a virus evolves, it either needs to evolve to be more easily transmitted or evolve to become more deadly to its host. And to evolve in both directions at the same time is astronomically unlikely. So they're saying that it's not really hugely likely that something is going to evolve to
wipe
to take over. And then on top of that, you know, life in general wants to live. And so if a virus were to come along and wipe out everything that it lives in, well, then that virus would basically be outdoing itself.
Yeah,
so it wants the host to live long enough in order to continue itself. And so there is a lot of beliefs that...
That's what I always wondered about zombie books. Mm-hmm. If the zombies were trying to eat everybody, what was their plan after they ate everybody? Because they can't eat each other.
Yeah, I didn't think they had much of a plan.
I don't think they didn't think it through.
Well, in Last Man on Earth, although the book is dealing, the book actually deals with vampires, and,
right?
And the I Am Legend. Sorry, Last Man on Earth is the movie with Vincent Price.
Vincent Price, which was awesome.
Of that, yeah, and then
where he becomes the monster to the monsters.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I Am Legend. Yeah, that was one thing that I was very disappointed about with the I Am Legend movie, right? Was that at the end of the book, he realized that he was the legend, and that's why it's called I Am Legend. That for generations, the new vampires who have inherited the earth are going to tell scary stories to their kids at bedtime about Neville,
yeah,
who used to come hunt them in their
about
sleep.
The human who would kill them during the day, yeah,
right, right,
yeah.
But
now you can watch that on YouTube for free now.
Which
Vincent
one?
Price, the Vincent Price.
I think it's in the public domain.
Yeah,
I think
it is.
That one's actually in the public domain. So yeah. Is Night of the Living Dead for those of
nice.
You who are interested. So,
yeah.
If you get your own copy of Night of the Living Dead, feel free to sell it out of your trunk.
Yeah,
nobody is going to come and
arrest I just bought one from you. So I feel cheated.
Yeah, yeah. How much you pay?
I don't remember.
All right. So, you know, the idea of a pandemic wiping us out is unlikely, but definitely a possibility, and it's in there. So, Joe, how do you feel about the vaccinations?
Oh, I was trying to avoid answering that.
You don't have to answer it if you don't want to.
Well, so I am exactly the opposite of Sean in that if everybody's telling me I'm supposed to do something, I instantly think there's something wrong with it.
Going to question it a little.
Going to question it, yeah. Even the Oracle of Nebraska, who's the super rich guy,
Warren Buffett
says that the way he gets wealthy is that when everyone panics, he gets calm. When everyone's calm, he panics.
Right.
Right. So
this is your
The fact that that generally we don't get everything right in science the first time. Or even the second time, and every year we come up with a new strain of flus that we're going to do, and then we just pump it out into the world without knowing what's going on. I'm nervous about it. Now, I have got the flu shot a couple times, and I didn't turn into a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
But
says you.
Says me, yeah. I think I was a lot brighter and taller and had hair before the flu shot,
right.
So I'm pretty sure.
A little less sunken in and pale.
Yeah, right?
A little less hungry for human face.
Yeah. So... Yeah, just in general, just because everybody says you're supposed to, I have a little bit of skepticism.
Right.
But I don't have anything to back that up.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of ways to rebel, and that is if I say, Joe, give me $10, do you give me no money or do you give me 20?
Yeah.
We're going to break here. We'll be back with Radio Wasteland. Give us a call at 530-605-4567 or check us online at radiowasteland.us.
Radio.
Athleticism of the circus meets the grace of dance at Redding's Cascade Theater with Diavolo's new show, Volo, led by former Cirque du Soleil choreographer Jacques Heim. heart-stopping aerobatics, gravity-defying choreography, a spectacle for the whole family. Volo by Diavolo, February 28th at the Cascade Theater. Tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with Care Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. Care Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday, March 17th at 7:30 a.m. on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Tucked away in the Four Corners Shopping Center is the American Cancer Society's Discovery Shop. And once inside, you'll discover trinkets and treasures from all over the world. From floor to ceiling, the Discovery Shop is filled with things for every room in your home. You'll find name brand, top quality, slightly used clothing for the entire family, sporting equipment, jewelry, kitchenwares, books, and so much more. This Friday and Saturday, the Discovery Shop presents A Blast from the Past with a vintage event you won't want to miss. You'll find clothing, home decor, estate quality, and nostalgic pieces of jewelry, fun items from yesteryear, and linens. This event has always been a favorite, so you don't want to miss it. The American Cancer Society's Discovery Shop is located in the Four Corners Shopping Center at Hartnell Avenue and Churn Creek Road, open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 10 until 6, and Saturday and Sunday, 10 until 5. Donations accepted 7 days a week, with all proceeds going to cancer research. The American Cancer Society's Discovery Shop is an upscale resale boutique. Shop, donate, and volunteer.
The goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos. Every week, Boomer Tech Radio talks about the innovations and the developments in technology that are impacting your life. Hi, it's Bob Belongi, and for the past 6 years, Brenda and I have brought you the tech news you can really use. Sponsored by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. It's analog living in a digital world on Boomer Tech Radio, heard noon to two Saturdays or streaming anytime on KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland. If you're interested in giving us a call, call us at 530-605-4567 or check us out online at radiowasteland.us. We've pretty much spent this show talking about the possibilities of a pandemic coming along and wiping us all out. I assume that...
Whether it be flu or zombie.
Flu, zombie. You know, there's a lot of... There's a lot of other potential ones, you know, the Black Death, the bubonic plague.
Killed, meteors.
You know, killed lots of folks, and we actually still get the Black Death every once in a while, that's the true. Bubonic plague, you know, so I mean.
Genghis Khan was responsible for a lot of that.
Yeah.
Launching bodies with catapults and
right,
stuff.
Right, right. Have you seen that movie Flesh and Blood where they fire them over into the water supply to kill all the people? And, you know, there's lots of other Ebola. You know, is one possibility the Marburg virus, which is like a variation of Ebola. Both Ebola and the Marburg virus, there's some word, zoo something. And a lot of our most deadly viruses have come from animals. And we, as we expand as people and encroach on animal habitats, we come closer and closer to more potential viruses. Mm-hmm. And so they think Ebola and the Marburg virus both came from fruit bats, you know, and they think the HIV virus came from people eating monkeys.
Yeah, and we've got things that just live in the dirt, like flesh-eating virus.
Right,
somebody had big league dreams a few years back, slid into a base, you know, and got something very similar to that.
There was flesh-eating virus under the base of Big League Greens?
Imagine something like that mutating and getting out and people just falling apart in the streets.
Yeah, that's interesting.
For those of you concerned, I'm sure Big League Dreams cleared that up. I've been there before, so.
Well, you know. I mean, the good news is that it's fair to say among many historians that the Black Death, the end of it, probably created the economic conditions that launched the Renaissance. So, you know,
absolutely,
if all of your neighbors die from a plague, you're guaranteed a good job.
Yeah.
and think about it that way, and it's not so scary at all.
Yeah, well, you know,
as your Catholic.
I never really put this together, but you know how we have names of epochs and stuff like that? We have the Triassic and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. These are all actually named after extinction-level events
that
came along. And so we've had
Permian-Triassic events, is why they call it at least
five extinction-level events. And, you know, had the dinosaurs not been wiped out, you know, the little woodland creatures would not have turned into
every
us.
Every few hundred thousand years.
Exactly
right,
true.
Right. So who knows? Yeah. You know, turtles will now inherit the earth.
Yeah.
So next week we're going to discuss ghosts and hauntings. And hauntings. I'm sure that could be multiple shows. You know, maybe we'll try to specify in a little bit on something because that's really the topic that it.
I'd love to find some local stories, you know, or locations. That
there are some talking about.
I've definitely found
personally. I know that Chauncey and I have witnessed a few things in this town.
Yeah, I have.
Know a lot of other people that have as well.
So, have you? I don't know if you'll be here next week. So let's hear. Have you ever?
Well, that's difficult to say because I'm crazy.
Right.
I've seen them, of course, but that's not me being facetious at all.
Right.
I literally have seen ghosts.
But they tell you to rob the banks. And
but yeah, well, I feel like that's something I have to take with a grain of salt as a result of my craziness.
Questioning your own head. Did I tell myself
exactly? So.
All right, so what have you seen?
Okay, well...
Now, seriously, no jokes aside, have you seen something that made you go, oh, dear God?
I was being completely serious before, yes.
Now I'm terrified, but go ahead, I'm listening.
Yeah, so in second grade, I believed in ghosts for about a year, and I don't know whether it was hysteria as a consequence of believing or what, but during the course of that time, I did see them for several times. It was situations where it was just like a flash, they were there, and then they were gone. So one of them... This guy in like an orange military jacket with a bunch of medals. He was running, then he was just gone. And then, you know, another guy, hair all over his body with this weird tail.
So it was there fast and flash and it was there and gone. Yeah, but it was still a very clear image, though.
Yes, it was very clear. And I mean, I think there are any number of possibilities. I think, you know, hysteria or maybe, you know, I just misinterpreted something I saw and then later I'm remembering it.
That's the worst part, asking yourself later, did that really happen?
Yeah, but
I do that over normal things too. So.
But I do recall my reaction at the time, which was very calm and collected because, of course, I believed in ghosts at the time. So I was like, oh, that was a ghost.
So you didn't find it threatening?
No, I really didn't. I found it...
You had that acceptance and so it was all
exactly.
good.
And then later on, I would say... About a year ago, actually, I was bit by something that wasn't there.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was interesting.
Like with people teeth?
Yeah, well, that's what made me think, oh, it's not a bug bite. It felt very clearly like jaws on my hand. Like I felt the pressure.
Did it leave a mark?
No, it didn't. No. So, I mean, again, take this with a grain of salt because I'm very crazy.
I think it's fair to say that every topic that we cover on here, you would need to take with a grain of salt.
Yeah. I have a cat, similarly, that comes and rubs up against our legs that's not really there.
No, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Ghost cat.
Ghost cat. That's what we call it, ghost cat.
Well, sensations of that sort of thing is an extremely common feature of poltergeist situations.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, biting, scratching, that kind of thing.
Because I feel that...
This happens. Happened a lot.
Lots of people, as I was starting to do my research on this topic, lots of people seem to... kind of feel like, oh, they're harmless, they're not going to hurt you, they're just, you know, and then some of them are just all like, you know, run for the hills.
Poltergeist.
The biting ghost is coming.
Didn't leave a mark.
My, let's see, how much time do we have here? About a couple few minutes. So a friend of mine told me this story. His grandmother told him on her deathbed, right before she died, she said that when she was a girl, every night, her parents would tuck her in and she would be in bed. They would turn out the lights and go out the door. And across from her, sitting on the nightstand, she would see like a little creature sitting on the nightstand. And she would freak out and climb under her blankets. And she would hear this thing drop to the ground and its nails scrape along the ground as it slowly walked over. Ooh. And oh, then boy. She would feel the end of her bed lower as it sat there all night as she slept.
Jeez.
Huh. And the grandma told him this on the deathbed. So, you know, it's like, you know, is this some sort of like, you know, Eastern European terrifying situation? Exactly. You know, you got to dim the lights in here.
Yeah. Well, that's a great story.
Yeah. Yeah. I always thought really so, too. One. I thought like, oh, man, that is like an awesome opening scene for an absolutely terrifying movie. Anybody who knows me knows I am a fan of scary movies, you know.
Yeah, if anybody locally has a story like that, if you could email it to us for next week.
Yeah. You know, write to us on the website or tune back in Monday nights at 6 o'clock.
Social media? Do we have social media?
We got the social? Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're particularly social.
I don't think we're social.
We'll anti-social respond to media. We're not going to, you know, instigate the conversation. But we'll respond to you.
I think that's why we're here. We're supposed to.
Right. Okay, well, we really appreciate you tuning in and checking out Radio Wasteland. If you'd like to give us a call next week, take down the number 530-605-4567. That number can also be used for any KCNR show you're listening to. So also check us out on radiowasteland.us and find out more about things that go bump in the night, things in the night sky, and, you know, send me a new tagline. I don't know. I don't have anything good. Fire it away. I was really in a fix to my brain, but vent. I really, really needed a cigarette. My own headlight was blazing and I couldn't dim. I didn't think too much about the speeding. The engine was purring, everything was groovy. I was doing 95 just like a James Dean movie. Singing out loud to the grateful dead. My rearview mirror flashes yellow and red. Sir, thank God you pulled me over. Yeah, my throttle was stuck and my seatbelt was stuck, so I couldn't reach the brake pedal. And if you hadn't pulled me over, then... Well, I was gonna say, you don't smoke, do you? I suspended my mind to a little conjecture. Would I get the ticket or the speeding match? Felt kind of weird when the cars I passed started zooming on by me, going twice as fast. Started saying, hey, Mary, and I have a Maria. Thought I'd tell the cop, pop, I had the diarrhea. But before I could clear down my lame alibi, cops started serving up my humble pie. Oh, jeez, I just remembered I gotta get my sick grandma to the hospital. She's having twins. Oh, she's in the trunk. She likes it in there because she can smoke. She's a vet. Gave me the drunk test and inspected my car. Then proceeded to chat about his old Jaguar. He wondered if I'd ever even met his wife. Then he started in telling me the story of his life. And he waited and waited for the punchline. When he gave me the ticket and he said, please sign on again. I'm sure without a doubt. I was so frustrated, I just printed it out. What the hell is wrong with you? Are you lonely or something? You just blabber whatever you want to. Fuck me. If I was a psychologist, I'd be like, okay, your hour's up, so write me a check. But I'm not. You sound like a 14-year-old girl with boy problems and a phone. Stop polluting my consciousness with your incessant drivel. Are you sure you don't have a cigarette? There was a very long silence till he said, please sign. He was a little less friendly than a porcupine. Car went off to the auto wrecker. I got 5 tickets and I still got a lecture. Never ever drive another beat up. Then by God, I always know my fucking alphabet. I'll never, never, ever, ever speed again. Because it's hard to speed as a pedestrian.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
The northern regions.
Douglas Arts, who works with a towing company, tells KGO-TV he's helping with sandbagging efforts in the San Francisco Bay Area.
We have drainage ditches, but they can't really handle the amount of water going through, so we put these out. And also the amount of traffic that we have on these roads and all the heavy trucks, try and keep it all packed down and solid.
National Weather Service meteorologist Will Pye says warnings are still posted for some parts of the region.
Still a lot of flood warnings for the Russian, you know, a lot of the main stem rivers, the Russian River, the Carmel River and Coyote Creek.
A pre-evacuation advisory has been issued for a California community in Madera County in the San Joaquin Valley after water discharges from Bass Lake were increased and threatened to swell rivers. Just before leaving his Mar-a-Lago, Florida estate to return to Washington today, President Trump announced he's chosen Army Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster to take over as his national security advisor.
He's a man of tremendous talent and tremendous experience. I watched and read a lot over the last 2 days. He is highly respected by everybody in the military, and we're very honored to have him.
General McMaster replaces ousted National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, who was fired for not reporting his contacts with Russia to Vice President Mike Pence. U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis says he believes U.S. forces will be in Iraq and in the fight against Islamic State militants for a while, despite some rocky times between the two nations. Speaking at the end of a day of meetings in Baghdad with military commanders and Iraqi political leaders, Mattis says he is open to any request from his military commanders to aid the battle to retake Mosul and launch a major battle to oust ISIS from the base of its so-called caliphate in Raqqa, Syria. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Eric Metaxas. Over the last year, I've been telling you about Liberty University's online degree programs, and many of you have begun completing your education through Liberty. For those of you who have not taken the step, a new year always offers new opportunities, so why not make 2017 the year you finally decide to finish your degree? Liberty University is the world's largest Christian university with over 95,000 students studying around the world through Liberty's online programs. So maybe you've procrastinated. You may have even convinced yourself that you just don't have the time. Well, the only thing standing in the way of completing your college education now is you. So whatever your excuses or reasons, 2017 can be the year you make it happen, but you need to start now. So pick up your cell phone and dial pound 250 and say the keywords Liberty University. That's pound 250 and say the keywords Liberty University. Flexible, affordable, possible. Liberty University Online. Dial pound 250 and say the keywords Liberty University.
The South Sudan government and three UN agencies have declared famine in two counties in South Sudan.
80,000 people in Unity State are now affected by a localized famine, and there are deaths every day from starvation. The counties of Leh and Mayendit are worst affected. These have been opposition strongholds in the civil war, which has sparked more than 3 years ago. 4.9 million people are now severely short of food. That's around 42% of the population.
BBC correspondent Alistair Leithead reporting. The Kremlin is dismissing a Ukraine peace plan crafted by an opposition Ukrainian lawmaker and two of President Trump's private associates. A spokesman for Russian President Vladimir Putin says the plan, which was first peddled to the Trump administration, is, quote, absurd, unquote. The draft plan, first reported by the New York Times, calls for all Russian forces to withdraw from eastern Ukraine. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Iran has banned privately owned drones from flying over Tehran after at least two devices were shot at in recent weeks over security fears.
Drones have become increasingly popular in Tehran, but they recently caused several security scares, as well as angering some locals who believe they infringe their privacy. In December, a drone was shot down after it entered a no-fly zone near the offices of Iran's top officials, including the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. The drone, reported to have been owned by state television, is said to have been filming for a documentary. Another incident last month saw anti-aircraft guns open fire on an unidentified drone over the centre of the capital. It flew away unscathed. Officials say that permits must be obtained for all drones.
BBC correspondent Sebastian Usher. A Louisiana woman is being hailed as a hero after police.